Hi, this is the To-Do List of the Semi-Adult Podcast with Ray from Ray's Days and Jules from Oven Lovin', where we talk about never having it totally together, but faking it anyway.
Hi, Ray.
Hi, Jules. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. How have you been lately?
I don't know. Good. I was about to say, I don't know. Good. It's been a really long time.
Yeah, it has been. Part of that was because I moved and my life got real crazy for a while, and it's still a little crazy sometimes. So thanks for your patience.
Part of it was because – Part of it was because my husband's father had a medical emergency, but he is home and recovering, so everything's cool.
Good. So all is well, or close to well anyway, and things are a little calmer now for both of us, I guess.
How's your new house? What is the situation?
It's great. It's beautiful. It's a I moved in with Michael, and it's a two-bedroom, beautiful apartment, and our neighbors are wonderful, and our landlords are wonderful, and it's a really, really nice place. So it's been going well.
It's like a grown-up apartment.
Yeah. That's what they tell me.
With people that are good quality around you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And our neighbors seem really nice and fun, and they have two little kids that are really cute. And, yeah, I don't know. It seems like a really nice – it does seem like a grown-up apartment. It's just, like, nice quality and a nice apartment and, yeah.
Good. Mm-hmm. AJ and I were just talking about moving last night.
Oh, really?
Well, he's pretty far away from work. He has, like, an hour commute. And he was saying, like, how it would be nicer for him to be closer. And I was just like, I just can't invest. I mean, I'm willing to talk it out, but I just feel like at this point, I don't want to invest the $1,000 it costs to move into another temporary situation.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, so. I never want to move again. Like, I'm going to die in this apartment because I'm like, I'm not going to go through that again. It's just too hard.
I know. It is. It's so much money. So much money.
Yeah.
And you always have to pay for 2 months. Like, our lease expires on October 26th. Like, we can't move in late October in Pittsburgh. It'll be snowing.
Right, yeah, yeah. That's tough.
So, we'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
What do you want to talk about today?
Well, I was kind of thinking we could talk about books we loved when we were younger.
That is a great idea.
And I know...
Do you feel like...
Go ahead.
Do you feel like you read less now than you did when you were a child?
Yeah. When I was a child, I read, like, nonstop.
Yeah.
And...
Me too.
That gets harder, I think, when you have more responsibilities, obviously, because you have to, like, do the dishes and make dinner and clean the house instead of just sit and read all the time. I read a lot on transportation, like when I'm taking the train. But I haven't been taking the train as much lately because we can walk to a lot of stuff, and I've been working from home a lot too, so I think that's cut down also. Well, moving also, like, totally wrecked my reading time because, you know, there's just, like, no time for anything. So I do feel really, really behind right now on reading. But, yeah, I think I did read more as a kid just because you had more time to do it.
Yeah. We went to my niece and nephew's birthday party or some party at their house. I don't remember what we were celebrating. And there was a bunch of people there, and there was a girl who was like maybe 10 or 11 who was sitting in a chair reading the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And her mom was like getting mad at her, like wanted her to socialize and like play with the other children. And I was like, that was me. Like,
yeah,
I
me too.
Did not. I just always preferred reading.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that was me too. And even now I feel like I still, like, have, like, I use Twitter a lot to read in, like, downtime or if you're waiting for something. But, like, in the car, I would read a book if we were going somewhere. Or, like, if we were waiting in the doctor's office, I would read a book. Or waiting for the restaurant, like, I would read a book. I just was, like, any minute you had a downtime or, like, weren't doing other stuff, I would be reading.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite book from your childhood?
Absolutely, it is Harry Potter. I feel like that more than any other book, like, shaped my well, probably whole life really, but like definitely my reading life. And I spent so much time not even only just reading those books, but like talking about them and going online and thinking about
them. And like awaiting them.
Yeah. And like theorizing and, you know, that was like my first experience to that kind of like culture, like that kind of fan culture where like you would go on like Harry Potter rumor websites and like see what people thought might happen and what they heard might happen or what the publisher leaked to the whatever, whatever, which was like all completely made up. But it was really fun.
Yeah, that was like – I was like late to the Harry Potter game, but when I did finally get into it, it was like – at first I felt like it was one of those things that you had to be embarrassed about. Like you didn't want to admit that you liked Harry Potter. I didn't want to admit that I liked Harry Potter. But then so many people were into it that it made it okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel like I was an early Harry Potter adopter, which was 100% because my aunt and uncle like happened to get me the first book for Christmas when I was like, I don't know, 11 or 12. And so I remember my friend went to – this was, like, in the second or third – when, the third book came out, I think they were still coming out in London before they were coming out in the U.S. because it was, like, a U.K. publisher. So my friend was going to London on vacation, and I was like, please, can you get me this book? Like, if you go to a bookstore, can you please, please bring back this book? And she was like, I don't know what you're talking about. This is weird. And then she went and got it, and it was like a – you know, the bookstore, it was like a big deal. And she was like, what is this? And I was like so excited to have this thing that I could read like before it came out in the U.S.
What a good friend.
I know. I know. I, like, can't believe I asked that, too. Like, oh, can you bring back, like, a hardbug book for me, like, on vacation? Like,
well, that's, you like, didn't pretty know at the time.
Yeah, no. And they found it.
But I'm not sure I would have done it for someone.
And I think it was the paperback. In my defense, I don't think it was a hardback book. But it was awesome and really fun. And, I mean, and then, you know, it just kept going and got bigger, like, into our adult years.
I think – I don't know. I almost, like, am embarrassed to say this, but I feel like Harry Potter was, like, the most impactful reading I did on my life. And, like, there are often times that I think of things when I am struggling with life and I think of quotes from the book to, like, help get me through, like, to give myself pep talks.
No, I totally agree with you. And I feel like it's so – there is still – I went back and – we both have gone back and reread it, the series as adults, and I would like to do it again soon.
Me too.
But it just – I feel like there's so much you can get out of it at any stage of your life. And when I was going back and reading it as an adult, I, like, saw things a lot differently and felt things a lot differently than when I was a kid, especially some of the scenes with, like, parents and children and – and family and stuff like that. And so that just, like, impacted me a lot more as an adult than it did when I was a kid. Plus, you know, I mean, they're pretty dark. They're pretty adult themes. So I think I didn't, like, grasp all of it when I was younger that I do now as an adult.
I feel like, it is pretty dark. Like, the idea of a character being mistreated by their guardians is not an old story. I mean, it started with, or it, you know, it's been existing since Cinderella, but reading, so when I was 10 and reading the first book, it was like very fairy tale-esque. And now as an adult, when I go back and read it, I'm like, no, this is like really awful. Like he has to live in a closet.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Well, I have to agree with you. I think Harry Potter is my favorite childhood book slash adulthood book.
I know, slash book ever. Yeah. What else did you read that was maybe not as big of an influence, but something else you really liked?
Well, I feel like in school we read To Kill a Mockingbird and Frankenstein. And I feel like both of those books changed my perspective on literature.
That's cool.
And like To Kill a Mockingbird, I loved that book, but it was like really, it was like a revelation to me when my teacher was like, yeah, but you have to realize that this is from Boo's perspective. So some of it is exaggerated and some of it is like from a child. And that like changed my life. Like, oh, this is an adult writing this book from a different perspective. And I just feel like that really helped me like understand other works later. That an author is capable of doing that.
Yeah. No, I think that's, you know, I've never actually read To Kill a Mockingbird, and I like am the only one in the whole world, I think, who hasn't read it. But I have heard that. And I do think that that's really important to be able to realize that what the narrator is saying may not be reality, and to be able to think more critically for yourself, I think, and kind of approach reading that way, I think is like hugely important.
Yeah, yeah. It, like, I just, like, didn't even think it was possible for that. And that's what makes her new book that's being released this in late summer, I think, so exciting, because it is from the same – it's from the perspective of the same character, the same narrator, but as an adult. And so I'm really excited to see the difference. Yeah, yeah.
The summer. That's cool.
Oh, and Frankenstein.
Yeah.
That was because – you know, when we were introduced to book in school, like there was this whole period of introductory and like background so you can understand the concept. And the thing with Frankenstein was that it was, you know, that Mary Shelley's husband originally tried to take credit for it. And that was like my first foray into like feeling angry as a woman.
That's interesting.
Or as a girl, I guess. Yeah. And so that like really influenced me now, that has influenced me now, because obviously like I do get angry about the inequality in the world, and but that was like the first time I was like, oh, this is really unfair. I can't believe that this could have happened.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Yeah. I didn't read that until college, and I feel like I know I like miss the boat on some of these like classics that everybody read. I didn't read that one until college, and I feel like I didn't give it enough attention, because I think I was like probably my freshman year and I was overwhelmed and I just like sped through this book and whatever. So that, and it's not that long, I guess. So that would be another good one to revisit, but that's an interesting thing to glean from it.
Yeah. I feel like it was more like about the context behind it and not necessarily the work, although there are some quotes from the book that I really like. But, yeah. I mean, I guess I should also, like, couch that in saying that I obviously, like, have lived a privileged life. And if eighth grade reading Frankenstein was the first time I, like, first, like, realized the inequality existed.
No, no, no. People like, still, I feel
not
like,
that great, but
have trouble. No, no, no. I think anytime you wake up to that is good. And it hits, I feel like I learn new things and I'm open to new things all the time, learning about different kinds of privilege and different things that aren't okay for other people. People learn about that their whole life. I don't think there's any shame in when it happens.
Yeah, that's thanks, Ray. Tell me another book from your list.
I read like all of the Babysitter's Club mysteries like 100 times. I read a lot of the Babysitter's Club books anyway, but I really, really love the Babysitter's Club mysteries. I really liked mysteries, obviously, and scary books, and that like combined them both. And I can't remember like any details now from like any of the stories except one where there was like a cover with a ghost in a house on like the coast somewhere, and I think that one was my favorite one, but I like couldn't tell you the story in it, like I don't remember.
I freaking love I like wanted a Babysitter's Club when I was, like, I was just obsessed.
Yeah, do kids still read those? Is that still a thing?
I have no idea.
I know Goosebumps, my nephew's still like Goosebumps. And so they like took all the Goosebumps books.
I didn't even know Goosebumps
books.
Was still happening.
Yeah, they were like really into it and like read all the Goosebumps books. And so when I went through my books at my parents' house, I gave them some of the Goosebumps books that they didn't have.
How fun.
Yeah, so I don't know if there's like new ones.
Is R.L. Stine still writing them?
I don't know for sure, but I do know that I followed him on Twitter and he's still doing stuff. He's still like,
oh my God,
creating and like doing, I think he was like doing some TV shows or something and like I don't know. But
you are so good at Twitter.
I love Twitter. Twitter's like my favorite thing. But yeah, he's like R.L. Stine was like the like kids horror writer and like fantasy and monsters and stuff. I like liked a lot of those books too.
I actually couldn't read Goosebumps because they were too scary for me. Oh, even into like my early teens. Too scary.
Yeah. I really liked fantasy books too. And so I read a lot of fantasy books when I was younger. I still like them now. I guess I always have. But I feel like my reading taste, I guess now that I'm thinking about it, like were set when I was like five because like mysteries, scary books, fantasies, that's like pretty much all I still read.
How fascinating. I don't feel like that at all.
What? How has your taste changed?
Well, like, Harry Potter is the literally – no, I don't want to say literally – is mm-hmm. one of the only fantasy books that I've enjoyed.
Oh.
And I've tried reading Lord of the Rings. I've tried reading the Golden Compass series.
I have never read Lord of the Rings, and I put down the Golden Compass books, to be 100% honest.
Okay. Well, that makes me – okay, maybe I'm not anti-fantasy. Maybe I'm just anti those books.
I think – well, I've never tried Lord of the Rings, and I know I should, but, like, they're, like, kind of hard, right? They're, like, kind of dense and maybe not that fast-paced. You have
to keep consulting the maps and the charts in the
which,
back.
Like, some people love, but – don't have time. Yeah. I think when my dad read it, he, like, skipped all the songs. Like, they sing songs and go through the whatever when they're traveling or whatever. He just, like, skipped those parts. And, like, kept reading the story. And I was like, oh, okay. Maybe I could do that, too.
Man, that makes me feel so much better.
Yeah. So maybe, maybe it's
I feel like Lord
right
of
flavor.
The Rings is this, like, representative fantasy book. And if you don't like it, then you don't like fantasy. You're not a true fantasy fan. But I take it all back.
Maybe. I don't know the rules. But I think a lot of people have been skipping them.
That is so enlightening to me.
In my fantasy community knowledge.
On Twitter?
Yeah, on Twitter. So what kind of books do you read now?
Man, I feel like my whole life has changed. What?
What kind of books do you read now?
Well, I'm trying to think of like the last... I still read teen books. Mm-hmm. I mean, like my favorite books that I'm reading are by John Green, which... is absolutely for young adults. And I like to read, like, comedy. I mean, I blew through, like, all of the female comedy writers' biographies earlier this year. But I can't say I'm a huge biography fan. I just, like, I have to be interested in the person to begin with.
Yeah.
And I would really like to get into Stephen King, but I'm really nervous that it's going to be too scary.
Oh, I'll get all well, – we can totally talk about – which ones might be good for you. You know what? Joyland might be a good introduction for you.
Okay.
It's like kind of, it's like a little adventure, not that scary. And then there's like some romance too. He also does a really wild like fantasy series, The Dark Tower, which is like a kind of a trip. so that might be fun. I don't know. It's I don't really consider it like horror. It's just like adventure and fantasy and weird stuff happens. 11/22/63 is like one of his recent books, and that is about time traveling, and that's not really scary at all. It's about this guy who goes back in time to try to stop the Kennedy assassination, and that's like got some like romance and adventure too. So I would avoid The Shining because that's pretty scary. And don't read it because that's scary too.
No, I can't do it.
Yeah.
What's the other one?
It. That's the one that like I was like it's you know about this like crazy clown and this like terror in this town and I like was going home and I saw like a balloon tied to the like railing of the train station and I like ran home. I was like absolutely not. Why is there a balloon here?
Were you telling me about a Stephen King book about a town covered in a bubble?
Oh, yeah, Under the Dome. Yeah.
Is that also not scary?
Yeah, that's. I think it's more, like, adventure. There's, like, kind of, it's, like, more suspenseful, I think. But it's not, like, not as scary. I don't think it's as scary. It's, like, more adventure and, like, suspenseful.
Okay. Man, I feel like you could make a living by, like, making book lists for people.
I would like to do that. I should figure out a way to make a living doing
send
that.
Send out a questionnaire.
Yeah. And
then you can just make lists.
That's a really good service. You should make that
I
happen.
I would pay someone $10 for that service.
Yeah.
And then use their Amazon affiliate links to buy the book.
Oh, smart. Smart business plan.
Do you have any other books from your childhood?
Yeah, actually, one that I think about a lot is Ella Enchanted, which is another...
Okay, I haven't read that.
I love it. I think you should still read it as an adult. I think you should still read it. It's like, you know, it's a young adult book. It's like, you know, chapter book for young adults. And it's about this girl. It's kind of based off Cinderella. And this girl is like, her mom dies and she's left with her, you know, dad and stepmom and stepsisters. And she has a curse on her where she has to be obedient. So she like has to do everything that everyone tells her, even if it's not like an experience. You know, if someone's just like, oh, go sit over there or go stand there, she, like, has to do it. And it's a really, really interesting look at, like, a lot of gender norms because she's this, like, little girl that has to follow orders and what it means to, like, have agency and say yes and no and be in charge of your own actions and, like, what effects that has. And, you know, I didn't realize all that when I was, like, you know, 12 years old reading it, but now as an adult, it's, like, where they make a big deal out of her agency and her ability to say no or yes or decide what she's doing with her life and her body and all this stuff. And it's just like a really interesting, fun story with these like really interesting themes that kind of, I think when I was a kid, kind of taught me a lot about saying no or like saying yes and
yeah,
deciding stuff for your own and kind of having pride in that independence and stuff.
That's fascinating.
Yeah, it's, I think it's a really, really good story, and it's by Gail Carson Levine, I think, is the author. I really like it a lot.
Did they make a movie out of that?
They did, but the movie's, like, really bad. It's got Anne Hathaway in it, really? And...
Oh, okay.
No, that's a different one, I think. But this one has Anne
Hathaway.
Yeah, 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 that's... It's got, what's the guy's name? Hugh, it's the guy married to Claire Danes. He's the main guy in Ella Enchanted. Anyway, the movie is like really cartoony and not that good. And also like left out my favorite parts of the book, which like, of course it did, I guess. Another thing I guess I forgot to mention about this book too, is that like, it has a lot of things that are similar to Harry Potter in that the kingdom is like making laws against certain groups of like creatures in the kingdom. So it's like anti-ogre, or, like anti-fairy, and it like kind of introduces that like social justice aspect, which like Harry Potter does a lot of too. It also includes stuff like that.
Sweet.
Yeah, I would recommend it.
Oh, how old were you when you read it? Like 12 or 13, you said?
Yeah, I think so. I think like 12 or 13. I think I did, a project on it in like 6th or 7th grade or something.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, anything else you want to add about childhood favorites?
Well, I was going to talk about Twilight.
Yeah, let's talk about it.
Well, okay, so it's not my favorite, and it didn't really even influence me in any positive way other than me realizing that, like, good stories can still be written very badly. And like I really enjoyed reading the books in like a same way I would enjoy reading like a trashy beach romance novel. But I was like so disappointed in society for becoming obsessed.
Yeah, I have a lot of complicated feelings about Twilight.
Yeah.
We could have like 8 podcasts just on Twilight probably, and I would talk about all of it. But yeah, I agree. I feel like the stuff that I liked about it, which like you said, is like a good story and like an easy read and I don't know. It's like compelling, you know, and stuff like that. And it's like a girl who's trying to figure out her life and figure out what she wants. That's like interesting to read. But then the stuff that people latched on to was like, oh, look at this boyfriend who's really awesome. And it's like, wait a second. Yeah. Like, no, he's not.
Yes.
And stuff like that. And so I feel like, yeah, people took like the total opposite stuff that I did.
Yes. I am like totally into girls trying to figure out their life.
Yeah.
And reading about that in real life and in fiction.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And like one of the things that someone on the internet criticized about Twilight, it was that there's so many descriptive words used for Edward. Mm-hmm. And the descriptions of Bella is really generic because supposedly the book was intended for female readers, and they mm-hmm. wanted all of the female readers to relate to this girl. And I think we all can relate to not having our life yeah. together and not knowing what we want and trying to figure it all out.
Mm-hmm.
But then, yeah, it was like everyone was talking about what a great guy, like qualities
like this romance of
Edward that they yeah. would want in a man. And I'm like, but he is creepy and stalkerish, and like, why would you want someone to watch you while you sleep?
Yeah, and he's like super controlling and like doesn't let her do stuff and doesn't trust her, and I don't know.
It's all like couched in like her safety. And you know, if you really did have a vampire as a boyfriend, then maybe that would be legitimate, but like you don't, and it's not legitimate.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. Like, she is an adult woman who can protect herself just fine. And like, you can, that's I think the biggest problem I have. Well, I have a lot of issues with it, but the like lack of consent. Like, he was just like, well, I'm gonna do this thing to protect you. And it's like, why don't you talk about it with her, and like, you guys can decide together what is best, and then include her in on this like protection you think she needs, you know? Like, maybe she doesn't want it, and then you just have to listen to her. Sorry, you know? And he just doesn't listen.
But I feel like she also, as a character, like, also, like, clearly liked the protection. Maybe not clearly to him, but, like,
yeah.
There was a particular scene in that series at some point where she's, like, walking down a dangerous street hoping mm-hmm. to get hurt so yeah. he will come to her.
And yeah, that's messed up. Like,
that is not okay to be teaching.
That is not healthy behavior. Women. No, it's not.
No. And the thing is, when you're, like, 15 and you're yeah. dating and you're trying to figure your life out, like, you do crazy things. I yeah. did crazy things.
Yeah.
I acted out and did crazy things. And even, like, you know, in college when I'm calling someone 17 times mm-hmm. instead of just, like, once and being
mm-hmm.
cool.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, so providing examples to, like, teenagers, adolescents who are already like still trying to figure things out is not mm-hmm. a good idea.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. I think you just have to like I feel like I am an adult and I can see what's going on here, and I like know what's right and wrong and like whatever. So like I have a better assessment of like reading these things. So like if you're reading it right. with your 15-year-old, like talk to them about it. Like ask what they like about it and what they don't like and why is this attractive to you, and let's talk about that like role and relationship and like, you know what I mean? Like, I just think that, like, kind of conversation could be really good, but that's, like, not really the conversation that's happening. I mean, it is to some extent because a lot of people do recognize that that's, like, not a healthy thing in these
yeah,
books.
Yeah, I mean, there is, like, an equal amount of criticism about the books, which is good. I, like, sort of feel bad for the author because this woman was just, like, trying to write some novels and ended up being super successful and mm-hmm. becoming super rich, but also had to deal with all of this criticism that not only criticized her story and character development, but also her writing, which I think would be really hard to take.
I don't know. She's got enough money. I think she can take it.
I mean, the writing wasn't good. Like, I don't want to defend it. But,
well, that's what I feel like. I mean, people shouldn't be cruel, and people should, you know, she's a human who like put a thing into the world, and so obviously, yeah, I think you should respect that. And anyone who writes a book, I feel like, gets an award because that's like an incredibly hard thing to do. But yeah, it's like I think you're right. I think the writing is not good. It's bad. But at the same time, it's writing that's good enough that a lot of people read it and a lot of people liked it.
Yeah.
And it sold a bunch of books. So like, how bad is it? You know what I mean? Like, yeah, it's not great writing, but it's good enough. It's good enough. People understood the story and followed along and kept reading. So
yeah. Yeah, no, exactly. So I added Twilight to the list because it really, I read it early on in the process and then it picked up speed and it really forced me to like be like thinking about the book in my head and mm-hmm. form an opinion that I was like confident in about the books. And that was like pretty good. I don't always voice my opinion when it goes against the grain. And mm-hmm. so Twilight was like my first opportunity to do so. And that was really good for me to learn that you can still survive when you disagree with a lot of people.
I think that's great. And I think it's also, I'm kind of the same people that like love Twilight with no, like just like love it wholeheartedly. The people who hate it wholeheartedly, I feel like too, aren't really thinking about it critically. Like there are some things you can take out of that, that like you can think about critically that could be good or bad, you know, like clearly people right. love it for a reason. So like just, when people just like automatically hate it and say it's terrible and it's trash, well, why? Why is it trashy? Like, okay, the writing's right. bad. We're talking about these unhealthy things that happen. Like, yeah, that's all true. But like, do you hate it because it's like a girl in the story? Do you hate it because girls like it? Do you hate it because it's romance? Like, I just don't get a lot of this like vitriol that people go after it. Also, I feel like comes from a weird place.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like my cousin really liked Twilight for a while, and was super into it. And she lives in Long Beach, so she would go to like the premieres and stuff in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. And her husband once like cornered me at a family event and was like telling me like how it puts unrealistic expectations on men. And I was like, I just can't. You don't. I can't. I just can't. Nope.
Yeah. I would not want to have that conversation.
So that's my, I don't know. I was trying to transition and failed. Just kidding. Anyway, do you have any more books?
No, I think we covered all my big ones.
Okay. I feel like we just need to talk about Babysitter's Club later. And
oh my God, yes.
I don't even know. I think my parents saved all the books, and I think there were hundreds.
Yeah, I think I have a lot still in my parents' basement.
Did you read Nancy Drew?
I did, but not as much as I read Babysitter's Club, but I did read Nancy Drew, too, yeah. I didn't really read The Boxcar Kids or Hardy Boys, though. I didn't read those.
I didn't read those either, but I really loved Nancy Drew.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cool. Well, good talk.
Yeah. You ready for a lightning round?
I am so ready.
Okay. What's our first question? Where this week? What was your favorite outfit?
I'm wearing right now, currently, I'm wearing this pink sweater that I don't wear very often, and it's super comfortable, mm-hmm. but it's like really pink, not neon, but not pastel. It's just like pink. And sometimes I feel like it's too much, but today I got a compliment on it, so I maybe will wear it more possibly.
That sounds good. I think pink is really flattering for a lot of people because it like makes their cheeks rosy or something. It like reflects nicely onto people's skin a lot of times.
Yeah, it does. I do feel tanner.
Oh, that's interesting.
What was your favorite outfit?
Well, I got these new workout leggings from Gap Body, and they're, like, the most comfortable things I've ever worn in my life. So I've been wearing them a lot around the house and to work out, and so I think that's, like, definitely my favorite outfit. Even though it's not, like, super fancy, it is really comfortable. It feels like my legs are being hugged. So it's pretty awesome.
I just bought leggings for the first time, and I feel like my life has changed.
It is the best. I love leggings. I love wearing them.
I don't know what took me so long. I don't know what the issue was, but I think I thought if I bought them, I had to wear them outside. But you don't. I don't have to wear them outside. I can just wear them around the house.
Yeah, totally.
Totally. That's solid. Have you cooked anything delicious?
Yeah. We've been cooking. We've still been doing Blue Apron. We did this thing last night that was really good. It was like a crusted chicken, like fried chicken. With like breadcrumb crust, and it had a really good salad with like pickled onions and oranges and some other stuff in there that now I can't remember, but it was really good.
Did the onions come pickled or did you do a quick pickle?
We pickled them. We did it in a pan with like some vinegar and sugar and stuff.
Cool.
Yeah, it was cool. It was fun. So that was good. What about you?
I don't I wish I could remember. We did have something delicious earlier this week that I added to our favorites list, but I can't even remember what it was. Chicken? Oh, it was loaded baked chicken. So we're doing, I'm doing no carb or low carb. And so the dish was inspired by a loaded baked potato, but obviously I can't have a potato. So it was a chicken breast covered in bacon and low carb ranch dressing and cheese.
Wow.
And it was delicious.
Yeah.
What's our last question?
Oh, I think it's what are you reading, right? Is that our last question?
Yeah.
I think we just talked about it.
It's been so long. Okay. What are you reading?
Okay. So I'm reading this comic book called Bitch Planet. And I really, really, really like it a lot. And it's there's only been 3 issues out so far. And the 4th issue is coming out soon. And it's super interesting and I think really well done. And it's about this like future that's like not so distant, I guess, where women who like break the rules and are not compliant get sent to this jail that's like on a different planet. And it can be for like anything. Like this guy like sends his wife to the planet because he like wanted to run away with his mistress. So he like set it up where she was non-compliant and she got like taken to this planet and now she's like in this jail forever.
So are all the women going?
Pretty much, right? It's like, I don't know who's left. It's like whatever, right. Whoever the men feel like they want to keep around is like who's left on the planet. And then everybody else gets sent to like this prison. And it's like a patriarchal society. So like the men are like, definitely like in charge and in government and stuff like that. And, it's just like a really, really well done look at all these like expectations and what's normal and what, why do people say things should be this way and like what's wrong does with these women like that are non-compliant. Yeah, but that's like the point. It's like a community to be angry with because like these people get it and this is like – it's like I think a really clear look at like what really happens in everyday life and it like kind of turns it up a little but it's like, no, that's really what happens. And, like, we just don't get sent to a different planet, but, like, that stuff still happens every day. So I think it's, like, a really clear thing to look at.
I was listening to This American Life, and they had a whole section, or whatever they call them, acts, on this – oh, I'm not even going to remember the name. In the Hasidic Jew community, if a woman wants a divorce from her husband, he has to – write something down to grant her permission as far as in the church's view. And that there was actually a business for a while of like rabbis threatening or actually physically hurting men who weren't honoring this request of their wives because they weren't doing it. And so if the man can do it at any point in time, he can decide, oh, I'm going to give her this document. So if he wants to go date and remarry, he can wait until he meets someone and is ready to get remarried and then do it. But the woman can't do anything. She can't date. She can't. And it was just – it was fascinating. It was fascinating.
Yeah.
I'll try and find the episode and link it.
Okay, cool. That would be good. Yeah, no, I think that, like, there's been, like, a really big community, I think, around this comic book. And I read a couple interviews today. I can show you the link to the interview where, like, the author, Kelly Sue DeConnick, I think it's her name, she is a writer for it. And she kind of has talked about, like, a lot of people gathering around this comic book because it's, like, a community of people to be angry with. And, like, these people get it and they get what you're talking about and they understand. And so, like, you're not crazy for feeling that way. Like, here's all these people who also know what you're talking about. And I think that's such a big issue with a lot of ways that people continue sexism is just by, like, ignoring it and telling you that, like, that's not really happening and that's – you're just overreacting and you're being crazy. But, like, it's real and we know it's real. So, like, here's people you can talk about it with. So I think it's a really,
it's
really
like
interesting –
it's like a vetting process for, like, people that are on the same wavelength.
Totally. Yeah, yeah.
That's cool.
And it is cool. And I think a lot of people are actually – I think a thing that is really cool about it is a lot of people are getting non-compliant tattoos because when you get sent to this prison, you get, like, this branded of, like, non-compliant. And so a lot of people are actually getting the tattoos that brand them non-compliant. And they're saying, like, I'm non-compliant and I'm not like going to fit into this thing that you're just telling me to. And that's awesome. I think it's really cool and like really empowering. So everyone should check it out.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's super neat. Wow. I'm not reading anything.
That's okay.
After that impassioned talk, I'm cross-stitching. I finished two cities.
Oh, awesome.
Paris and New York are done. I'm working on Tokyo.
Cool. That's cool.
I will post photos.
Okay, awesome. Cool. Well, I think that's all I got. Where can we find you?
You can find me at Julesy on Twitter. Where can we find you?
You can find me on raisedays.com, and I'm on Twitter at RCL Newton.
Cool. Have a good night. Thank you for listening, everyone.
All right. Bye.